Please, let's go over to Mark chapter 10. If you need a Bible, I'll just have Bibles. They're going to quickly get you a Bible. Mark chapter 10. Just raise your hand if you need a Bible. Follow along with us. Mark chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10. Okay. I'm going to start reading. And I'll start reading at verse 17. And when he was gone forth and away, there came one running to him and kneeled him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had what? Great possessions. Well, he didn't really have possessions. What happened? Possessions had him. Let's look at this. The full flow of the anointing of God comes when you decide that the kingdom of God is more important than anything else. The full flow of the anointing of God comes when you decide that the kingdom of God is more important and your assignment are more important than anything else. And that's very, very key for you to know. Now he said in this, he said, "One thing is needful." No, he said, "One thing thou lackest." Or, "Go thy way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And the man was sad at this saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Grief means loss. So the man envisioned himself losing something. Now, I'll tell you what Jesus was trying to do. I worked through this. He was out to make this man switch systems. Because a man obviously knew how to work the world system. And he got rich. But now he's asking for eternal life. And the eternal life is a life like God lives. And for you to do that, you're going to have to let go of what you got and take on something that God has. Well, this man, he said, "One thing is needful, or one thing that you lack." And what I believe that the man lacked was a revelation of what he had been reading. All right, let me give you a case in point, because he couldn't follow Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. The Apostle Paul was headed down the Damascus Road, and he was going to seek out believers, those who believed in the Messiah. And he was going to seek them out because he was going to take them, arrest them, take them back, have them tried, and some of them testified to their death. And so that was a bad situation. And Paul was passionate about it. Somebody called him a terrorist. Because he would break in the house. I mean, he would terrorize families. Here comes Paul. Lord, here comes Paul. And, but what happened on the Damascus Road, he had an experience. There was a light shined on him brighter than the noonday sun. And the brightness of that light blinded him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, who you persecuting." So there is a revelation that the people who he was persecuting were actually the body of Christ. Got it? You with me? All right, so here is Paul. Now God sends him to a street called Straight. Some folk here might need to go over the Straight Street. But he went to a street called Straight, and a man named Ananias came and laid hands on him. Scales fell from his eyes. He could see again. But my point to you is that once the light comes in, and the light is not information. See? What one man calls the information of this world, he calls it dark knowledge. It's not revelation. Revelation is light of the word. It's something that God illumines to you, that when you get revelation, it mutes every other form of knowledge. Revelation does. When I was working for a computer company and it was time for me to leave there and go into full-time ministry, and you know, each time I try to leave, you know, I hear a voice, "Baby, need a new pair of shoes." Then I try to leave this way, a car note due, and so forth. So notice, the gates of hell were prevailing against me. See, Satan can't stop you from being saved because you already got saved. His job now is containment. His containment, see? He knows without revelation you can't break through. He controls people. That's why he has deceived the whole world. Not half of it. All of it. Because without revelation you can be deceived. But the church is not supposed to be deceived. So this man could quote scripture. Listen at this. "The Lord is my shepherd." Now listen at my voice now. "I shall not want." "Can you loan me $5 till Tuesday?" You got what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? See, you can quote it, but you're broke. See? And that's not the way it was intended to be. See, this man could quote all the scriptures. Don't. And that's what the Pharisees preached in the synagogue. They preached the law. And that was the difference between what Jesus preached. He preached the blessing. And I told you that if you just follow the Holy Ghost, it will purify you. Faith purifies. I told you that time my wife, I was upset about something in the church. I went home. I said, "Baby, you know that guy." She said, wait, sweetheart. Hold on now. I can't afford to hear that right now. I'm working on something." You working on something. I'm working. See, now notice, she couldn't afford to have her heart contaminated with something that was against God because she was trying to get something here. See, if you're in faith, there's certain things you can't afford to hear. Amen. So my point to you is that this man, he lacked something. What he lacked was revelation of what he had been hearing. And God was going to show him that his God was not Jehovah, but his God was money. And he is going to ask him to give up his God to take this other God. And the man just couldn't do it. I can't do it. Some people think, well, because you're rich, you can't get into heaven. You can get into heaven being rich. He said, you can't trust in riches and get there. See? You just can't trust in riches. So what am I saying for you right now? That God wants you to switch systems. Because he knows what's coming. And he always prepares you for the future. Just switch systems. Now, when he says, "Give and it shall be given unto you," he is not kidding. Now, here's what I'm, let me just, I wrote a note down here to myself. I want to make sure you get this. Economy. There's a new economy. And God would have you to invest in the kingdom to manifest that economy in your life. Now, let me just show you what I tell you what I mean real quick. I'm not going to hang around with it. Since I've been born again in the ministry, full-time ministry, I haven't invested in any stock. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but I haven't invested in any except Covenant Bank. Okay. But it's not because I don't like some of the stock and so forth, so on. It's not that. It's that I found a better business deal. I found the kingdom over here, and the kingdom is going to pay me much more than the investments that I could get in this natural three-dimensional realm. Say amen to that. I used to preach all the time that the kingdom of God is big business. Oh, yeah, I like that. See, folk don't let me have my tablet out of there real quick. I didn't plan to do this. It's the other one. Yeah. You see it in there? Did somebody take it out? Yeah, that's it. This is Go Hard, Pastor David, right here. Go Hard. Go Hard. Boy, don't say that if you don't want them to get excited. Yeah, boy, you say that. Okay, but anyway. I was writing something down here, and it had to do with Jesus and how he operated with business principles. He believed in profit. Matter of fact, this is the way we formed the Joseph Center. On Isaiah 48:17, I'm the Lord thy God, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit and leads thee by the way that thou should go. He believed in profit. He believed in performance and measurements. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over much. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And notice what he said to the one who only bared his talent. He said, hey, you're fired. That's what he said. He believed in organization. In John chapter 6, he said, wait a minute, let's organize and put him in groups of 50 and hundreds and so forth before he distributed the bread. He believed in product excellence. Notice what he said in John chapter 2 and verse 10, after he turned the water into wine. When the governor tasted the wine, he said, whoop, this is, y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, you've saved the best wine to last. I'm telling him he believed in product excellence. Now, he believed in no loss. Notice in John chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, gather up the fragments that remain of these five fish and loaves of bread, that nothing be lost. He didn't believe in losing. He didn't believe in win a few, lose a few. Didn't believe in that. He also believed in loyal workers in Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. He believed in planning and execution. Folks, he was a businessman too, praise God, because the kingdom is big business. I don't know why people come into church, doesn't matter what they do, what time they stroll in, what time they go out, and so forth and so on. This is, the kingdom is extremely organized. And it is business. One time I get in conversation sometime with people and say, well, you know, y'all nonprofit. I said, don't you believe that? There is no nonprofit in that Bible. Find some in there. The man that didn't get a prophet got fired without any hesitation. And the one who fired him didn't even feel bad about it. Let him go. There was another in Luke chapter 16. He said, hey, give account of your stewardship. You will no longer be a steward. Why? He didn't bring in a prophet. I'm telling you, we're supposed to get increase in our lives. Say amen to that. And Jesus understood principles of business. I'm saying the kingdom of God is big business. And if you invest in that kingdom, he's going to pay you back. Let me tell you how much he's going to pay you. Put it up there. Mark chapter 4 and verse 29. Glory to God. Halabashandarabahaya. This is good preaching right here. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brother and sister, or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Notice what he's going to get. 100-fold. That's Mark chapter 10. We'll get somebody else back. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. He said, notice what he's going to get. He's going to get 100-fold when? Now. So I'm just saying, if you invest in the kingdom of God, you can't get a better return than 100-fold, not unless you jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and get 1,000 times more. Folks, it can happen. Say amen to that. And that's a whole lot better than 14 and 15% or 7% of what you're getting on your savings right now, which is 0.2%, .0.02%. You got what I'm saying? I'm saying the kingdom of God is good business, big business. Why? Because God knows he wants to do it right. He don't want you to shorten your budget so much. You have chairs that folk can't hardly sit in long. They're so hard. Or you get, come on now. He wants that temple to be built like God wants it to be built. Built to last. Say built to last. Say go hard. Praise God. All right. Okay, y'all got me riled up here now. That's just go hard. Okay, now, we're going to Africa. I won't show the film because I didn't like the one I saw. And so we're going to Africa, and what we're going to do is, they're going to get the message. And what we're going to do is we need to finance the trip. Now, what I'm asking is people who feel led to do it, I don't feel led, don't do it then. If you feel led to help us out, our budget is much over $100,000. We go all the time, and you've been sent here because you're supposed to help me go. And so, since, just in case you don't understand why you came here today, God knew I was going to go to Africa before you ever came, was born into this world. But anyway, you've been sent here. And listen, if everybody just helps out some, we can meet that thing, close that thing. I'll say amen to that. But we're going to Africa and we're going to do a job over there. Now watch this. Paul said, it's not so much that you gave to me, but now fruit can abound to your account. What did he mean by that? He means that everything that happens that he does for the kingdom, they were going to get also the benefit of it. So I'm saying right now that as you give, when we get souls saved, people healed, teaching pastors, whatever we get, you're going to get part of that as you give into them. Give the Lord a praise, prepare your tithe and your offering.